Hello, Hot Springs. I'm D.B. Cooper.
And I'm Erin Baber.
That's Rootin' Tootin'.
And we're from the Garland County Library.
And this is Checked Out,
a podcast where we talk about all things library each Friday.
Broadcasting from the Razorback Camper Cell Studios.
Thanks for joining us.
All right, it's Friday, balmy outside, and who do we got here? We had you on before. What's your name and what do you do?
Karen Covey, Public Services Director.
And we have another guest.
I am Greg Wallace. I'm the Adult Services Librarian here at Garland County Library.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm super excited about our topic today.
Yeah, this is something that we've been looking forward to and talking about, I guess, for a month or so.
Yeah. Right?
Yes, true crime.
Hot Springs, Cold Blood.
What a name,
right? I love
that name. Man.
Catchy.
It's great.
Planning it for a while. We're hoping that it will take off and we'll get to do it again next year with more extra special guests.
Yeah.
So.
But no fresh crime.
No fresh crime.
Well, you know, things.
Things happen. Things do happen.
Yeah.
What happened in Oklahoma?
Everything happened.
Okay.
It's the new Florida.
All right.
Sorry, Florida.
So we need to do like Oklahoma Cold Blood next year.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
For those that don't know what we're talking about, we have a true crime festival, and it's going to be on November 4th and 5th. It's a Friday and Saturday, and we have a whole bunch of programs lined up. And do you guys want to start on which programs you're most excited about or give people a rundown? I see you have a list.
We are excited about all of them. So, yeah, that's probably a good idea just to give a quick rundown of the actual activities we have planned. And then we were going to go through our personal list that we fought over of the top 10 Arkansas true crimes of all time.
Ooh.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
All right, so we should go through these events first, right?
Right. To kick us off on Friday, November 4th, we're going to do a screening. We're going to show a film here in the library. It's called The Town That Dreaded Sundown. It's loosely based on the Texarkana killer.
The Texarkana
Moonlight Killer.
Moonlight Murders, yeah. Or the Phantom Killer is also the name of the book.
So,
and it would have been a perfect drive-in movie, but we...
It's going to be in Room D.
You can't drive into Room D.
Please don't.
So,
we'll make it spooky for you.
We are, because we have to. This movie, I believe, is rated R, so we have to black out the window, so we're going to put up black paper on Room D so the little youngins can't watch it.
That'll be fun.
Yes, so that's going to make it even creepier than it is. Then followed up to the movie is James Presley, who wrote the book The Phantom Killer about the Texarkana Moonlight Murders, which is a great book if you haven't read it.
So those two programs kind of go together, really.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
It's cool back to back, so if you watch the movie and you have actual questions, yeah. Of like, all right, what's real? What happened? Like,
and he should know his uncle was one of the first officers on the scene of one of the 1946 murders. So maybe
awesome.
He has some background that wasn't in the
book.
Maybe some steamy information.
We are going to get the scoop.
Let's hope so.
So that's the movie's at 4. James Presley gives his talk at 6. Then at 7 on Friday night, we're having the podcaster Catherine Townsend from the Helen Gone podcast.
Oh.
She is a big deal.
Yeah,
she is huge.
I didn't realize she was a big deal until I got in my car the other day and NPR came on and she was one of the guest speakers talking about the Dahmer show. And I was just like, she's coming to the library.
Yes, yes. She, the podcast that I've listened to, I guess it's season 1, 2, and 3 is how they go. It's Rebecca Gould, which she's been in the news recently, but I'll let Ms. Townsend talk about that. Janie Ward, who was a young lady who
fell off the porch.
Fell off a porch and died, which is a fascinating case because she fell off like a 9-inch porch or something and died. And
okay.
A lot of things happened trying to, I guess, maybe hide the body or do something with the body.
She fell onto some bullets.
Then Ebby Stebbick. In Little Rock.
Ebby Stebbick in Little Rock.
Who they found in a storm drain.
After searching for years.
What? So does she do, like, each season's about this?
Yes.
And what's the podcast called again?
Helen Gone.
Helen Gone. Okay, I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
It's great.
And there are a lot of true crime podcasts where the podcaster just sort of comments on these crimes that have happened, but she actually kind of gets in there and tries to find new information, and she's
okay.
A private investigator.
She's an EI.
So it's definitely worth.
And her event is on Friday, November 4th at 7 p.m. Yes. She's closing us out that night, right?
That is correct. Right.
So then Saturday, we're starting bright and early with murder games.
Murder games
for teens.
At 2, murder games for teens, which may be hopefully just like a mystery, solve the mystery kind of.
Yeah, Mr. Brett has a series of board games that he's going
to solve this mystery, kind of like an escape room kind of thing.
Right.
And I hope you join him for the Halloween. He's been doing like a zombie survival program.
Oh,
online,
yeah.
So.
That's on Saturday starting at 2 for teens, murder games. Then at 4 o'clock, Hot Springs, Cold Cases.
We are hoping that the police department will provide a person to talk to us. We have talked to them about it. We have not been able to confirm, however. So fingers crossed, we'll get some inside information from the police department. However, they have made a big disclaimer that they're not going to be able to disclose anything that is not already public knowledge.
Yeah. But if they can't be here, this is going to be led by two of our other...
Us.
There
yeah.
you go.
Our experts here.
Yeah, we will talk about some of the Arkansas cold cases that are been in the news, or even some cases that have been solved. We're just going to talk about crime if we can't get the detective from the police department. But again, you know, we can't answer any questions or blame anyone or anything like
this
that.
This is like
public.
Yeah,
not
this
public.
Is kind of blowing up though. Cold cases here lately. I've been seeing it all across online. So it'll be neat for people to like see what cold cases there are, and then to take that and you know. Yeah. Investigate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
Yeah, there's a you know web sleuths. People are doing all kinds of things online.
Yeah,
DNA and things like that. So maybe we have some potential sleuths
maybe.
Here.
Maybe you guys are going to solve some.
Then at 6 o'clock on Saturday, November 5th, we are having a true crime author panel with Biddy Martin, who did Snake Eyes, which is a book about a local murder, and then Janie Nesbitt Jones, who wrote The Arkansas Hitchhike Killer, which took place in the 40s, which is a fascinating book. So they're going to be here at 6 to talk about things. And then at 7, to end our True Crime Festival, is Mara Leverett, who wrote books about the West Memphis Three,
yeah.
Boys on the Tracks, wrote a book about MENA not too long ago and the drug trafficking there. Alleged drug trafficking there. So it's gonna be a busy day both days.
Yeah, we are super excited. We are asking people to register for these programs. However, if you're not the registering kind of person, I bet if you just show up, we're not gonna turn anybody away.
And we've said these are adult programs.
Yes,
so
except for the teen one.
Except for the teen one. So your children may not want to attend, and it may be a little
inappropriate.
Yeah,
yeah.
For
this
for
is
children.
True crime.
Yes,
so this
true crime. Yes.
So this you can find out if you want to know more about any of these events or register for them. You can visit us online at gclibrary.com. There's a calendar tab. Click it. Go. You can look at each individual event. If you forget what time we talked about or what specifically, you can find it all there. And sign up just so we know you're coming. And
yes.
Yeah.
Like Greg said, if you don't, then maybe you don't get a seat, but you can stand around and hear.
And if there's an author talk, I think we have all their books that pertain to true crime. I know we have Janie
yes.
Nesbitt Jones and Biddy Martin's book.
We have
all
Boys on the Tracks.
Yeah, we have Boys on the Tracks.
The Phantom Killer we were going to do a book club on it, but it has gone out of print, but hopefully, because we're so popular here in
yeah.
Arkansas, that we will bring it back.
I
believe Mr. Presley is going to bring some books.
Okay, awesome.
So he might have a stash of them somewhere.
Oh, that's great.
So I'm not sure if any of the others, Mara Leverett or the others, are going to be selling books to sign at the events. That remains to be seen, but
we'll
sure,
try.
If you have a copy, I'm sure they'd be happy to sign up for you. Or I will.
I can sign as well.
Well, great. I am super excited about this. This is our first time doing this.
Yeah.
So we'll see what goes. I think that the lineup is awesome, And now I want to hear about y'all's favorite.
Yeah, so this is top 10 Arkansas true crime, right?
Our top 10 Arkansas true crime. We've argued over this list. We probably won't be friends after this, but we did come to a compromise of our top 10. I'm a big David Letterman fan, so I love the David Letterman.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
List. So we're kind of modeling it after that. At number 10, we're working our way up to number 1. We chose the Christy Yates murder, which happened locally. She was a young lady. Was she 15?
Something like that.
She
very young.
Very, very young. And it was in the news within the last year. It was the 25th anniversary of the case. So the FBI actually was putting out feelers for people. If you have additional information about this, you know, it's a cold case. We never solved it. Her body was found out Sleepy Valley Road.
Okay.
So it's been all over Facebook for a few months. You know, the family, of course, wants someone to come forward with some information. There has been no book on it. This is just one we thought that needed to be put out there. Again, if you have any information, you know, please contact the police department on this.
Definitely. Yeah, it's a very interesting case. And we do have a few on our list that don't have, you know, books or haven't gotten a whole lot of attention. So they are ready for your book if you're out there.
So take notes. Attend this true crime festival. You know, learn about web sleuthing and then write books about this.
Yes, exactly.
Good books.
Yes.
Right. Okay, that was number 10. At number 9, The Arkansas Hitchhike Killer, which does have a book by Janie Nesbitt Jones, who's going to be here. He was kind of a mess. He read
some issues.
Red Hall was his name. He killed his wife.
For one.
He just kind of went on a rampage back in the 40s.
Yes, I mean, don't be sitting in your car because he came up a couple of people. And
how many people did he kill?
Enough.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he was instantly put to death, right? He didn't wait 10 or 20 years. And he was like, you're gone.
Okay. Yeah.
This is 40s Arkansas, justice.
You're gone.
So he was not a super nice man.
Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of not very nice men, we did include one of our favorite Christmas stories. At number 8 is the Ronald Gene Simmons case.
Which is an awful story, awful situation. There was one book written on it years and years ago. I don't think we have it. It's probably gone out of print. He was the man out of Russellville that killed his entire family. It made, you know, national news. He killed everyone. It's just an awful story. I believe there was
it on Christmas or
it was Christmas. It was like, yes, it was because they were all showed up at Christmas and then he took them out, you know, kind of one by one. So it's an awful story. It did happen at Christmas time.
We are not making light of any.
Absolutely.
How long ago was that?
In the early 80s.
80 something. After 86, because it was after he got married, but it was after, you know, 89, 90. Wow. And then he really loved this Channel 11 reporter. And I forgot her name, but she would be the only one that he would let come in and interview him. He was one that didn't last long either after he was convicted. He was gone not 2 years later.
What was his name again?
Ronald Gene Simmons.
He killed his family and some people in the town of Dover that he had some connection to.
Wow.
So it was like a huge crime spree.
Okay.
On Christmas.
Yeah, right at Christmas.
Wow.
So it's an awful story, but we've included him because he is, you know.
Infamous.
Yeah. Infamous, yes, that's the word. Yes.
At number 7, another local case that is unsolved, the cold case. Linda Edwards, who was a dispatcher for the Sheriff's Department.
Her body was found on, I believe, Jack Mountain or Bald Mountain, one of the mountains, back in 75 or 76.
Wow.
And that was never solved. And I know her children wanted people to come forward. I believe her son came out a couple of years ago and talked to Channel 11 or something. And
on the sheriffs too, coming from one of their own.
Well,
right?
it's pretty controversial because a suspect in the case was a Hot Springs police officer.
Oh, okay.
So that's
tangled web.
But he was never charged with the crime or anything like that.
That would be a great book if you had information. You could dig through all the news articles and everything. That would be a great book. But yeah, that's a local one that was never solved.
Yes. So far.
So far. Until you guys. Yeah. Until the listeners here.
Right.
All
right.
That was number seven. At number six, we have The Disappearance of Maude Crawford.
Oh, yeah.
Camden, Arkansas.
Maude Crawford.
And this is another one that you might forget, like, got national attention. Yes. You know, it was all over the news at the time. Yes. And we've had the... There is an author and also an actress and director named Beth Brickell, who has written several books by at this point about this case. It started off as a series of investigative reporting in the Arkansas Gazette back in the 80s. So she was trying to dig up this thing that had happened. She was also from...
And everybody has their opinion on where Maude Crawford is. I mean...
Was there a newish book that she
wrote? It's a newish book, but I think
it's part of the same.
What do you mean everybody has their opinion on where she is?
Because she's never been
found. She's never been found. Okay.
My mother, we lived in Camden. My mother always thought she was buried under the Safeway parking lot.
Arkansas Hoffa.
It had a lot of twists and turns.
Okay. All right.
Well, it's interesting because she was a lawyer back when not a lot of women were.
In the 50s. This happened in the 50s.
Yeah. Disappeared. So, number six, Maude Crawford, if you're out there listening,
we're looking for you.
please report in.
Looking for more local content like this and so much more? Click subscribe by visiting hotsr.com.
At number five, we have the Frank Davis murder case, which was written up by our own Biddy Martin from Hot Springs,
who is a
lovely lady and friend of the... I don't know if she's an actual friend of the library, but she is a friend of the library.
Yes.
Right. Wasn't that published last year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we still have holds on
after all this time. Checked out with holds.
But that was a very interesting story. Biddy looked back to her childhood growing up, and there was a young lady in her class, and I forget if it was like sixth or seventh grade, who was murdered. And one of the more interesting parts of the book to me was just how that murder played out through the years and how all these people related to each other and things like that.
I don't know if he was ever charged with her murder, but he did murder...
He killed his mother-in-law.
His mother-in-law or his wife?
Oh, it was his wife, but his mother-in-law was there.
Yeah, he did some shooting up over there at the Redbird Station. Didn't go well for his wife.
Was that in Hot Springs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Across from the track over there?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, coming in at number four, the Texarkana Moonlight Murders, also known as the Phantom Killer.
Has never been caught.
Mm-hmm.
No.
There's some ideas on who it is, but nobody was ever charged.
Well, the James Presley's book is pretty persuasive that it was this particular individual who did it, and he ended up doing time for some other crimes. He was just kind of a wastrel. Not a very nice man. But that one was really interesting, kind of diving into 1940s southern Arkansas. There were a couple of scenes in the book that take place in Delight, which is where my grandparents were from.
Yeah.
So it was kind of neat to...
So everybody in Arkansas is like 5 degrees.
Yeah. Definitely. So Mr. Presley will be here Friday, and he can, tell us all about it. And at number three, also someone who will be here, Mar Levert, the Boys on the Tracks case.
Yeah, that's...
This one continues to fascinate. Yeah. I listened to another podcast, probably one of the most popular ones, Crime Junkies. And they did an episode on this case.
I know nothing recently about this case.
This is a great book to read.
It's a doozy.
It's fascinating. It's got all these characters in it. Fahmy Malik,
let's just start at the beginning. There are these two young men. They were high school students, right?
Yes.
They were young. They disappeared one night, and no one knows where they are. And they get run over by a train.
Okay.
And
they never moved. When the train was coming up, they never moved.
Where in Arkansas did this happen?
Benton.
Okay. Benton Bryant.
Benton Bryant, over in that area.
Selene County.
Selene County.
Okay. Yeah.
And Fahmy Malik, who was a pretty controversial medical examiner, he also turns up in some of the Catherine Townsend episodes, and in our number one choice, which we'll get to in a couple of minutes. But he had all kinds of controversial rulings in terms of, you know, manner of death and things like this. A lot of things didn't add up. Yeah, so I don't know if it was incompetence or if there was something sinister going
on.
He's
on the take.
Or if, you know,
some payroll.
The medical examiner's office was understaffed and underfunded, you know, I don't know. But one of the weird things about this was it was blamed on that they had smoked marijuana.
Lots of marijuana.
Yeah, like so much marijuana that you lay down on a train track and you don't hear the train coming and it runs over you.
Natural causes.
Okay. Very controversial. The mother of one of the young men kept fighting and fighting to get, I guess, closure on it. Uh-huh. You know, what happened? You know, they didn't smoke all these cigarettes, marijuana cigarettes, and lay down and get run over.
Yeah, trains don't sneak up on anybody.
When did this happen?
89, 90, okay. Something like that.
All right.
Around there.
Yeah, before cell phones, because you couldn't call your kid and go, hey, where are you, that kind of thing. So they really didn't know they were missing, because one parent, I think, thought they were at the other.
Sure, and then it takes a while to put it together.
And things were happening, and somebody came up and said, something's happened down at the train tracks.
Interesting.
And then it turns out there was all kinds of corruption going on in the county attorney's office, or
the book says there was all kinds of corruption going on.
So
that's a fun one.
That's
a good one.
It's a great one. There's lots of side stories too.
I would recommend reading the book by Marl Everett, Boys on the Tracks, but if you just want a quick rundown, the Crime Junkies podcast does a good job of just kind of turning up.
That's great.
Okay. Yeah.
Sinister things.
Okay. That was number three. At number two, Marl Everett makes a return appearance to our list with the West Memphis 3 case.
Of course.
She wrote The Devil's Knot.
That's probably our biggest, right? Like, maybe,
I think,
or
that's most nationally
like,
known, I would think.
Yes.
You know,
West Memphis 3.
And they just got out, I think, on an Alford plea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Marl Everett book on that is excellent, but also the documentaries that HBO made.
Oh,
yeah. They were good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The dramatization of it, not so much.
Oh, right. That was awful.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
But the Paradise Lost documentaries are really good. Uh-huh. But not for kids.
Still don't
know. At all.
Nothing's been definitive yet on the whole case. They're out, but it's...
Well, we can hear her talk about it.
Yeah.
All right, I want to hear your number one. I'm ready.
Our number one is a case that is not as notorious nationally, probably, as the West Memphis 3, but it's the one that rocked Arkansas to its core, I think the dust jacket says. It is the Mary Lee Orsini murders. Widow's Web by Gene Lyons is the book. It's an excellent book. He really gets into the whole kind of fabric of Arkansas society at the time and all the political maneuverings and whatnot. So in case people are not familiar, Mary Lee Orsini was a youngish woman, probably around 30-ish.
Yes.
And she was pretty attractive. You know, she wasn't, you know, a beauty queen, but she was an attractive lady who used her wiles.
Yes.
And she was married to Ron Orsini. It was either her third, fourth, or fifth marriage, depending on, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
And he was part owner of a heating and air conditioning company. And he was doing pretty well, but it was fairly modest income. But they had just moved into this kind of fancy house.
She wanted to be fancier than
living above her means.
Okay.
And she had charged $20,000 worth of furniture from Dillard's.
Ooh.
Which, this is in 1981.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I know.
Very
few. It's a lot now, but yeah.
And she had figured out all these schemes where she was kind of borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, but that was about to all fall apart.
Ron was going to find out everything.
He was going to find out these financial maneuvers that she had been trying to hide from him. And one morning, her story is that she tries to open the doorknob to the bedroom, but it won't open. It was one of those like privacy locks where you can just stick like an ice pick in or something.
Okay.
But she didn't want to do that because she Ron would be mad if she messed up the finish on the doorknob. So she just left it there. She has a daughter, Tiffany. She takes her to school. She comes back. She finally gets in the room, and Ron has been shot in his bed.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody heard the shot in the middle of the night.
Uh-huh.
It's really a good story. And you go, how did these people not see through this lady?
How long ago was that?
81, 82.
Is so she still alive?
No.
Okay.
She died in prison. Okay.
But not for Ron's murder.
Oh, man.
She got an attorney, Bill MacArthur, who was supposed to be one of the best attorneys in Arkansas, who was married to his wife Alice, and they had two young children. Somehow, Mary Lee decides that maybe in her fantasy world, she and Bill should be a couple. So there are a couple of different murder attempts on Alice. She tries to blow up her car the first time.
She gets the most
doesn't work.
Inept hitman ever.
Yeah. And so the next attempt is a flower delivery to Alice. And she answers the door to get the flowers, and they shoot her.
But she has to run. She's running to the closet. Mm-hmm. Her body is found in the closet. She was trying to get, I think there was a gun in the closet. She was trying to get the gun.
Wow.
And so he kills her. He kills her in the closet.
And meanwhile the North Little Rock detectives, which is where the first murder of Ron Orsini happened, they have her pegged immediately.
Yeah, it's got to be like this. Usually, like the spouse, like,
right?
You know,
yeah.
But
it's always a husband.
There is a grand jury called on the case, but they do not. It was called no true bill. They don't. I guess they don't have enough evidence to take it to trial. Somewhere in all this.
The infamous
Sheriff Tommy Robinson gets involved in this case. And if y'all are too young to know who Tommy Robinson is, you are missing out.
He was a sheriff. He'd gone through several police departments, I believe, but he was a sheriff of Pulaski County.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a hot dog. He really liked
publicity.
Yeah. Oh God, Tommy, don't come and find me. But he really liked publicity. He really thought that Bill MacArthur did it, and he would do all this grandstanding. According to the book, he would do all this grandstanding to get on the news.
All kinds of stuff
just to get publicity. So it's a great case.
Is there a book on it?
Widow's Web.
But that's right. We already covered that.
Yes, we did that for. Book club.
Yeah.
We also have a documentary on that case as well that's really good. Bill MacArthur died a few years ago. Tommy Robinson is still alive, as far as I know. So, and
that's super interesting. I didn't know,
yes, because it gets all these political.
That is a web.
The prosecuting attorney over in Plastic. It was a big thing because at that time we still had two daily newspapers. We had the Democrat, we had the Gazette, and they were fighting for, the scoops of the case, I guess you would say. But yeah, there would be like political cartoons about the prosecuting attorney, and Tommy Robinson went in and arrested this poor little lady comptroller about stuff. I mean, it was just
wow.
It's just small town politics, kind of thing, but. It's great.
So when you guys were making this list, was it like an immediate number one, before you even?
I suggested that we make this one number one, and we didn't really fight over that.
But we did kind of go through. There's some other great cases out there that we didn't touch on. There's a lot of, like Morgan Nick, who disappeared back then.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll have to have us back for
Yeah, we're going to have to do this again.
Or join them on Saturday, November 5th at 4 p.m. for Hot Springs Cold Cases.
Yeah, we'll talk about some cold. If the police department can't be here, we will talk about some.
Well,
cold
y'all
cases.
Are very knowledgeable,
yeah.
Which is scary. Not creepy at all.
Well, my to be read pile just increased a bit.
Mine too.
I didn't know. I'd ask for your notes, but I can't read them. Okay. So I'll just have to listen to this podcast. Thanks for coming on. This is I'm excited about the True Crime Festival.
Yeah.
And I think that you guys already have it planned for next year, too.
We kind of got it in our head.
Yeah, I see that. Okay.
This is huge. I mean, like, I love the whole lineup and the, like, nationally renowned guests and authors. And this
and
is
that
fun.
Poster, right?
That poster.
That poster is great. Yes.
Name, poster.
Yeah.
I'll take all the credit.
Good job, Brent.
Thanks.
Good job, Brent. Well, do y'all have anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. We just hope to see everybody next Friday.
If anybody wants to get a head start on reading about some of these, you can visit catalog.gclibrary.com and search these books, put them on hold. Awesome. We can deliver them to you. We can put them in a remote locker where you can pick them up curbside. Maybe even read them online.
Yeah.
Yes. I think most of them are pretty much online.
Yeah.
Go to gclibrary.com.
Or visit us at 1427 Malvern Avenue. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Checked Out.
From the Garland County Library.
New episodes released each Friday from the Razorback Camper Cell Studios. I'm D.B. Cooper.
And I'm Erin Baber.
Thanks for listening.